want my life to change for the better. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray. Speak it out. Just begin to pray. Pray. You've prayed enough today, but you're saying that today has to be different. Our sister sang a beautiful song saying that take us to deeper dimensions. Even I want to go deeper with God this morning. You're saying, Father, I don't want to leave the same again. Heal my heart. Give me a support system. Help me to do great things for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. My dear friend, what's your name?
Niajite.
My name is Nao Kainko. How old are you?
13.
13. Awesome. What do you want to do one day? What do you want to be one day?
I want to be a programmer.
A programmer? What does that mean? I don't know.
I want to program apps and robots.
So like AI. Oh, wow. Please give it up for him. Do you believe you can do it? What steps are you taking to be able to do it?
Learning on my own. Taking online tutorials about it. I'm praying to God to help me achieve my goal.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Please give it up for him. Go and sit down. I'm coming down. I'm coming down. That's why I said, don't be too comfortable. But before I start, I received a call 2 days ago from someone here. And the person's voice was so melodious. And that alone made me feel at home. Please give it up for Miss Melody for me. The discipline in the voice, I hadn't met discipline in the voice, the excellence of speech. Please, there's an anointing for excellence in this house. Please give it up for her. That alone made me feel welcomed here because this feels like a new terrain. And then I see my friend Bishop Manison over there. It's just, I'm using it to cool off, right? It's me too, I'm shy. So I'm just using this to cool off. So that's my good friend Bishop Manison over there. But I think that sometimes as youth, we don't realize the impact of what it takes when adults want to pour into us. Who is a school prophet here? Who has been a class prophet here before? Good. Please come. Today we are preaching together. Come. Oh, come. School prophet, you don't want to come. Come. Please give it up for her. What's your name, please?
Yes, my name is Dakar Sisa. Dakar Sisa.
Good. You are a school prefect.
Yes, I was a class prefect.
You are a class prefect. Tell me your biggest challenge as a leader.
This being a class prefect is kind of hard. Sometimes when you want them to do the right thing, they will do the other way and they will not listen to you.
So now, do you understand Uncle Biju? Do you understand all your facilitators? Do you understand their frustration sometimes? They want you to do the right thing, but you're doing the opposite thing. But today, I believe that God is going to change the trajectory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I'm coming down again. Good. Who said I should come down? Great. The one in the nose marks, you saw me coming. What do you want to do one day?
Computer scientist.
Wow, you have a lot of computer people in this house. Okay, why do you want to be a computer scientist?
I just want to create new things.
What kind of new things?
Extraordinary things.
Extraordinary things, wow. Extraordinary things. So that what will happen? So that you'd be famous or
Something like that.
You want to be famous. What do you want to be one day?
A doctor.
Why?
I want to help people who are sick.
You want to help people who are sick. What started that passion?
My dad.
Your dad is a doctor. You've been watching him.
Yeah.
And that motivated you. Okay. Your name?
Kojo Arizi.
Awesome. Who wants to do great things for God? Oh, lift up your hands. Almost all of you. You want to do great things for God. Why? What's your definition of something great for God? What does it take to do something great for God?
Doing something that will please Him.
Like what?
Dedicating yourself to something you know when you do it, you'll be pleased with it.
So what are some of the things you do for God that pleases Him, that you want to keep doing so that you change the world for God?
Sharing the word of God with others.
Have you been sharing the word of God? Why? Because you're shy. Okay. Today, that's what we are come to deal with. Don't feel bad, right? I told you, me, I'm more shy than you. You say you want to do great things for God. Why?
Because He's done great things for me.
He's done great things for you. Awesome. What kind of great things has He done for you?
Bless me with a home.
He blessed you with a home.
And siblings.
You're so grateful for that. Did you thank Him for that during worship this morning? You did. Do you want to extend that to somebody else? Of God with somebody in your class. Why?
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Why? You're shy. You're shy. Wow. Coming to the corner here. Hello. What great things do you want to do for God? Do you want to do something great for God?
Yes.
What great things do you want to do for God?
Anything great for God.
What's anything great?
What He wants me to do.
What do you think God wants you to do?
Preach His word.
Preach His word. Have you been preaching His word?
Not really.
Not really.
No reason.
No reason. You're shy?
No.
You're not shy. You don't have the words.
I'm working on it.
Okay. I believe after today, you start sharing the word of God tomorrow in school. Right? Amen. Please give it up for everybody who answered. You know, sometimes we take these moments for granted. Many years ago, I was about 7 or 8, I used to go to Sunday school, right? And I only go to Sunday school because my mom has to go to the salon, and the salon time coincides with Sunday school. So I go to Sunday school so that she can take her hands off. You get it? And she had 3 kids, so I'm the second of 3 kids. And so we just go to Sunday school. And for me, Sunday school to really go and study, and it was a time of toughies, you know. Those days when you come to Sunday school and you answer a question, they give you toughies. And I was always wishing for toughies. My older sister would go to the youth class, and there they don't give toughies, they give Coke and Fanta. And so one day I was sitting down, and then I went to my Sunday school teacher and I said that I don't want to do Sunday school again. I want to do Youth for Christ. That was the name. He said, why do you want to do Youth for Christ? I said, because I want to drink Fanta. Yeah, that was my only reason. And he said, okay, you're going to write an exams with the youth. If you pass, then I'll take you for Youth for Christ. So I said, okay, I'll write. So do you know what I did? Yes. Yes. Oh, say it. What did I do? You want me to come down again? What did I do? I want to go to Youth for Christ. I have to write an exam. What do I do? What would you do? Yeah, I learnt. I went to study my Bible. And I wasn't studying it because I wanted to meet Jesus. I just wanted to go to Youth for Christ. So I studied and I wrote the exams and I passed. So he told me you can come to Youth for Christ. And I was very, very excited. But do you know what I did again as a child? I would come very early because Sunday school, because he's the same teacher that teaches the Sunday school and he's the same teacher that teaches the Youth for Christ. So I come very early. I go for Sunday school. I'll take my toffees from there. Then I'll go to Youth of Christ. Then I'll take the Fanta from there. You see, I was trying to be very, very smart. I wasn't looking for God. I was just looking for the fun of it, right? But you know what? He was drawing me in without me knowing. You get it? Because I was studying the word of God. Not because I wanted God. Yeah, because I wanted the little pecs. But one day in that Youth for Christ, he showed a movie. I was just like 8 years old. The movie was A Thief in the Night. Oh, you can write it down. So you go and check it out on YouTube. It's still there. Because I watched it again as an adult. I watched it again. Just recently, I watched it again. It was A Thief in the Night. And I sat there with the adult and I watched it. And I cried. You know what it was about? It was about the rapture. If Jesus came today, would I go? And I sat there and I was very quiet. 8 years. Is there anybody who is 8 years here? Yeah. I was very young. And I sat there and I asked myself, if Jesus came today, will I go? And I saw the suffering in the movie. And I saw those who didn't pay attention during church service and those who did otherwise. So the movie was part 1, 2, 3, and 4. So every Sunday, I'll go and I'll watch. Then he showed another movie, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Ah, ish. That's it. I watched that one too. I was coming for Fanta, but now the things I was seeing on the screen, it made me think, what was I really doing with my life? I would go to church service too on Sunday, and they would give me offering. You know, we have 2 offering those days. And I'll drop 1 offering. The second offering is for my ice cream. So I don't drop the second offering. We have some people in the house. You're saving it for the spring roll, but you know that they gave it to you for offering. And my sisters and I would plan. And we'll not drop all the offering. But do you know the funny thing? We're also giving money for ice cream. You say, right? You're saying, you can't believe it. I was giving money for ice cream. But the offering that they gave me, because the ice cream, what they would do is, it was a very long time ago. You know yogurt? You eat full yogurt, right? Mm-hmm. Those days, we don't eat full yogurt. We share it. Yeah, we share it. So we are 3. We will now let the yogurt seller divide it into 1, 2, 3. So we have to plan so that at least somebody can eat full one. And so the second offering, when the basket comes from it, right, and then I'll use it to buy ice cream. But you see, today I'm preaching the word of God. Did I know that I'll become this way? No. You know, those were little seeds that were being dropped in me. That movie lingered in my mind for the rest of my life. At 8, I never forgot about it. You see, today you're sitting here and you're saying, oh, he's worrying me, he's wasting my time. But do you know why I'm encouraged? Do you know why I feel so excited standing here? Because I look at my life and I know that nothing is a waste. My dear brother here was crying this morning. Yes, when he called you up here, you felt so embarrassed. But do you know, in my heart, I rejoice with you. Because 10 years from now, you'll be holding this very mic. And you'll be looking at another child. And you'll be telling the same child, oh, I was like you. But I know God will do something great with you. Is that okay? God will do something great with you. Is that okay? Today, you haven't finished reading your Bible. The next time, you will devour your Bible. And you'll be ministering to people. And you'll be healing people. Because that is what God has for you. In Jesus' name. Our topic for today is nothing lost, nothing wasted. John chapter 6, verse 12. Are you there yet? But we'll start from the verse 6 so that we can gain an understanding. Are we there yet? Okay. Let's go to verse 7. Media team, let's go to verse 7. So Jesus had gone to preach, and the multitudes followed him. And the Bible says something. He says, Philip came to him, Jesus, and said, send the people away. You've preached to them, send them away. It's getting dark and we don't have food. Send them away. And he asked Philip, what would we do? And then this is what Philip said. He answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. He was saying that even a whole year's salary, right, that was the worth back then. Even if we use it to buy bread, they would just get a little. Even if we had it, we wouldn't be able to feed these people. Then Andrew, Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled up, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Who brought the loaves of bread that Jesus multiplied? Who brought it? Save your friend, because if you don't save your friend, I'll come. I'm not preaching today. We are having an interaction. Who brought the loaves of bread that Jesus multiplied? Great.
The small boy.
Good. The small boy. Are there some small boys in the house today? I'm not hearing. There's no small boy here. You have plenty. What do you have in your hand that you think that Jesus can't use? What is it about your life that you think Jesus can't use? Do you know what the barley loaves represent? there's wheat bread. You know, those days they had wheat and they have barley. Barley was for the poorest of people. It wasn't for the rich. So the boy wasn't rich. He probably followed because he had heard about Jesus. And he packed some lunch for himself. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Maybe for he and his friend. Like you and your best friend. And they brought it to the gathering. Then all of a sudden, there was a need. Who would have thought that among 5,000 men, nobody thought to take food? If you're going for camp or you're going for an excursion, do you pack food? Yes, you pack food. So suddenly, Jesus is with these over 5,000 people. And nobody brought food except one young boy. If you were him, you realize that there's hunger. And you've packed your wachi. You've packed your spring roll. You've packed your meat pie. I'm not coming to you yet. She's hoping I don't come to her. Oh Lord, it's good. What would you do? What would you do? Truthfully, what would you do? Oh, don't hide and talk. What would you do? You stash it away. Are we being honest? Are we being honest? Are we being honest? Who would have given up their 5 loaves and 2 fish? Oh, tell me the truth. Oh, raise up your hand. Oh, you give it out. You would have given it to Jesus. Why? Come, come. I'm interested. Come, come. No, because you're a very good boy to do that. I wouldn't have. Oh, look at all of them giving you this one. Come, come. Don't worry, I'm shy like you now. Don't worry. Talk, talk. What will make you give your 5 loaves out?
Because the people are hungry.
But it's only 5, and there are 5,000. It's 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 2 fish. You still give it out. Why? Because how would you break it 5,000? How would you break it out of your 5? Give everybody some. You're discussing it. How is it possible, right? Like, will you give it out? Oh, I'm waiting for you. Oh, no, I'm interested. There's something in your heart I want to bring out. There's no right or wrong answer. It's not a mass question or an exam. It's just talking about Jesus this morning. So tell me, why would you give your food out? I wouldn't. But you know that after the fact. But so you would have believed that Jesus would have multiplied it. Oh, take it.
Yes.
You would have believed it. Do you believe that now? You believe that Jesus can do anything with you? You believe so?
Yes.
Okay, I'll call you again. Have a seat. You see, this young boy had followed Jesus. For the 3 days on the journey, he had followed him. He had heard his words. He had heard him. And so when they said there was shortage of food, because in my wildest dreams, I don't know why I would give my food out. The thing, if I look at the number, even if it's here, 5 loaves, if I had it, I wouldn't give it. I'll just look for my closest friend. She's being honest. That is it. I'll look for my closest friend. 1, 2, 3, 4. Charlie, let's eat the thing. There's nothing we can do now. Right? After all, I brought my food. Why didn't they bring theirs? That is it. I want you to see the power that Jesus has on a life. This young boy, he gets up. He looks at what is in his hand. It looks very, very insignificant. It looks like it's nothing. But you see, he's not looking at himself. Do you get it? He's not looking at what he has. So. He's looking at the man who is in charge. And the man was Jesus. For 3 days they had followed him. He had heard the words of Jesus. And when he listened, something touched him. Something changed in him. Can I tell you something? I don't think the story was just about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Because the Bible says Jesus already knew what to do. Right? Before he asked Philip, what are we going to do? It was a setup for the small boy. Jesus is setting you up today. In a world that looks so dark and overwhelming. He already knew. For 3 days he had been watching that boy. 3 days in the crowd he had his eyes on him. He watched how he paid attention to him. He watched as he lingered on every word that Jesus was saying. He watched as the boy tried to understand him. He watched as the boy maneuvered his way through the adults. Right? He watched. For 3 days, he kept the bread. He kept it. Because he was feeding on the word of God. There was something about Jesus. And he couldn't have enough. And when he had kept on staring at him, Jesus didn't look like he was paying attention, but he was. Because the Bible says he knew already what to do. Even before the boy would offer it. Jesus knows exactly what for you decide to offer it. He intends to do great things with you. But you know what? Great things start with very simple stuff. And that's why I asked you, what do you want to be in future? Then you tell me you want to do robotics. And I ask you, how are you going to do that? It's the little steps, is that not it? The daily waking up, right? And studying what it means to do robotics. Checking what other people have done, is that not it? So when you come here every single Sunday and you go for those youth camps, they are the simple steps to do the big things for God. Am I getting to you? You say that I'm not talented. Barley, right? I told you was for the poorest people. Wheat was more expensive. But he dared to offer it to God. When I see adults standing, I should be afraid to even echo my voice. Is that how you sometimes feel? Yeah, you feel intimidated by the adults. But he looked around and he realized that no adult was coming up. So I'm sure he went behind Andrew. And he tapped him, probably a very shy one, and said, I have some loaves of bread. He probably couldn't even bring his voice out because he was still looking at it and wondering. But you know, he wasn't looking at Andrew. He was actually looking at Jesus because he knew Andrew would lead him to Jesus. And that's why your facilitators are here. Uncle Biju is here. Your focus is Jesus. You are seeking Jesus. But there's a man that will take you by the hand with the little that you have and bring you to Jesus so that Jesus can do wonders. That I can't sing like they can. And God says, what do you have? You say, I have a smile. Who likes smiling here? Who likes smiling? The person who is afraid I'll call her is the person who's smiling. Come and smile to them. Come. Come. Please clap for her. And your smile is very beautiful. You've been so scared I'll call you. Can't you see she has a beautiful smile? And so you're asking. Good. When you meet a short person like me, I can't. No, me, I'm short. So the youth can stand with me and we look like we are the same. And that's the beauty of God. I like the way she's rubbed her hands around me. You see, the way she's smiling. If you walked in here and you were a visitor for the first time, that is enough to let you stay. So when you ask God, what do I have to give you?
My smile.
Great. And so you ask, how can I serve in God's house? How can I bring people to the house of God? Don't lose a smile. When you meet people on the street, say a hello with a smile. Because you know what? You will lighten up somebody's day. Somebody will see Jesus Christ through your smile. Is that not it? You say that I come from a home. You meet your friends and it looks like some of them come from very good homes, right? I heard about youth camp. And it looks like some of your friends come from rich homes and very well organized homes. And you say, I don't want to go, right? I feel very left out. What can God do with me? I don't belong here. Some of you keep saying that to yourself. Our sister here said she's grateful because God has blessed her with a home. But some of you are my home. It's a place that brings me too many bad memories. And when I look at where I come from, I ask myself, what can God do with me? Why did He put me there? I'll tell you the story of a young man. His father was an idol worshiper. His father was wicked. In fact, he grew up before a wicked father. But God put his hand on that young man. And something was changing in his heart. He didn't even have too much of the word of God around him. But there was something lingering in his heart about God. And he kept pondering. Because he was growing up before the wicked father. And one day God exalted him. And he cast down all the idols of his father. Have you heard about King Josiah before? Have you heard about King Josiah in the Bible? You know, his father was a very wicked man. The Bible says his father did wickedly in the sight of God. But at 8 years, that's why when I started, I asked, who is 8 years here? There's nobody who is eight. At 8 years, God paid him. You know the beautiful thing about that story? No. 300 years before he would be born, God had prophesied about him. You know, there was a wicked king called Jeroboam, and he led Israel down the path of idolatry. He set up the golden calf for them again, and they were worshiping it. So one day, the Bible says a prophet went to him. And he says that God is going to raise up somebody. And that person will destroy the altar that you have built. And that person was Josiah. 300 years before he was born. Can I tell you something? God knew you before he formed you. And he had ordained that you are in. Your house, your school, your community is not an accident. Every place that you find yourself is because there's something you can do for God. That is why he put you there. Josiah was just 8 years old and God called him to be a king. You can imagine. If God calls you to be a king, come. so small. And then God says he's our king. And he's walking here. Can you imagine how frightened he will be? Standing before you people. But God called him. Do you know why? What did he have? Tell me, what do you think Josiah had that made God trust him with his kingdom? What did he have? What did he have? What did he have? Should I tell you? Should I tell you? He had the love of God. He loved God. He didn't know God yet, but he loved him. You want to do mighty things for God? You do mighty things for God. Take your seat. He just loved God. And though his family wasn't the best place to be in, God looked at his heart. And like the boy who brought the loaves of bread, God was watching him. And he said, I can trust you. Even though you are young, I can trust you. Because what you are seeking for is my presence. It is the presence of God that makes a difference in your life. It is not necessarily where you come from. It's not necessarily what you have. It's whose hand are you holding? Imagine that I want to get to the roof here. This is the way I'm short. I'm even wearing heels. But I would need a tall person to stand on, right? If I don't have a ladder. I would need the person to the ladder on which you rise. Everything you think is impossible, Jesus made possible. So you ask. But if God was there, why all these fragmented pieces in my life? Because the scripture says something. He says that after the people had finished eating, but before that, when Jesus took the bread, what did he do? I heard somebody say something. Oh, speak. Speak. What did Jesus do? There's no wrong or right answer. Just speak.
He prayed over the bread and the fish, and then God multiplied it. He prayed over it, and then it was multiplied.
Good. He prayed over it. He lifted up to heaven, right? And he gave thanks. When you wake up every single day, and you give thanks for the little that you have, for that thing that doesn't look so great, do you know what it's going to call forth? He said, and then it multiplied. He broke it. He gave thanks. He broke it and it multiplied. And do you know what he did next? He took the broken bread and he gave it to the disciples. And as they were giving it out, it kept multiplying. Do you know the lesson in that? Before I came up here, we were watching a video. Live for others. Because that was all my sermon was about. God can only trust the people who have learned to give up everything to him. Because if you can live for God, you can live for others. So when he took them, left it, and he gave it to his disciples. The biggest change you make is not so much when you stand in the presence of a lot of people. You make it to the next person sitting right beside you. How do you serve each other here? How do you love each other? How do you serve your sister? How do you serve your mother? How do you serve your brother? That's that's where the greatness starts from. When Jesus gives you something, he says, don't let it remain in your hand. The more you spread it, the more it multiplies. The boy didn't set out to be great, but his act is recorded in scripture, which we will never forget, because he dared to live for another person. It didn't matter how small he was. It didn't matter how small the loss he had was. He just knew there was something about Jesus. There was something about Jesus that was calling him. And he gave it out. And he did great things for God. The Bible says when Josiah was 8, he began to seek God. And by the time he was 16, who is 16 here? 16, just lift up your hands. 16, you are 17, you're still within the range. 16. You can do great things for God. 16, he tore down the idols of his father. 70 years the people had been serving in idolatry, and a 16-year-old boy brought revival to Israel. What makes you think that God cannot do that with you? He didn't look at God and he said, this was wrong, and God has empowered me to be the change for my generation. And he dared to be different. When you go to school and other people are misbehaving, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? Do I join them? Or do I dare to be different? How many of you feel and you get this instinct that God is calling you? Don't be shy. Lift up your hands. You don't know him. You get it? You see, when I was young, even though I was going to Sunday school, you know, just misbehaving here and there, I was quiet, but I was sitting there. I was just really not interested. I told you why I came there. I'm a sweet tooth. I like sweets. So that was why I was going there. But you see, I used to have a lot of encounters with God. I used to have a lot of encounters. It was like he was disturbing me. You know, I used to tell myself, you know, after I watched the Rapture movie, I was with my big sister one day and I said, you know what? In the movie, they said that a trumpet will sound. Then Jesus will come down, right? You've heard it before. Huh? And I said, I'll wait when I hear the trumpet. Immediately, I'll confess my sins. I was just being very sorry. I just told myself, you know what? I'm not going to do all this Christian thing. But because there's going to be a trumpet, at least when I hear that one, pampana, immediately, I'll just say, Father, forgive me, you know, so that I'll go to heaven. And you know, when I was doing all that, God was just watching me. And he was laughing and smiling, because he had his hand on me all along. Then later I changed it. And it's not the rapture, but what if you die today? I said, but you said that Jesus will always forgive us all our sins. He said, yes. I said, okay, so I can wait. When I'm about to die, on the bed, I'll say, Jesus, please forgive me. You know, because I was always trying to postpone it. It just seemed like, I don't want to be a Christian. Like, this thing doesn't feel like that's what I want to do. But I know that there is God. I know there's God, because he was always pestering me. in my dreams, everywhere I went. I just told him, wait a bit, wait a bit. When I'm about to die, I'll come. Because I did not get it, that it wasn't about just being saved. It was about being used by him. So I thought about myself. If all Jesus came to do was send me to heaven, right? Sometimes that's what we think. So let me wait and die. Then I'll just go to heaven. But what about the other people who are waiting for me? You see, God needs you because there's somebody connected to your destiny. I'm here today, not because I've died, because I surrendered so that I could be used by him to draw more men into the kingdom. Do you believe in hell? Do you believe in hell? So why aren't you scared for your friends? Why aren't you scared for your... I asked the question, I'll go back to it. I said, how many of you know that God is calling you? Don't do this. Raise up your hand. Because I'm very short, so if you do this, I won't see you. How many of you know that God is calling you? You haven't surrendered yet to him, but you know he's tugging at your heart. There's something, even when you are misbehaving, you know that his hand is on you. Raise it. Don't be shy. World changes. You are shy, but you are empowered by God to do great things. You know, I'm not saying God is calling you to be a pastor. I say you know that God's hand is on you. Because I'm about to share a story with you. How ordinary men can turn the world upside down for God. Come. Those who know. If you know. Me, I'm more shy than you. I'm telling you, come. Let me stand here. You know he's tugging at your heart. You don't know him. It's not like you are super prayerful or... No, but you just know that he's always there. He's there. Oh, come. Don't be shy. You know. Some people are pointing their friends. Yeah, I don't know. You know. Jeremiah said that even if I made up my mind not to snooze, you know. There's something about God that draws you to him. You don't fully know him, but when you're misbehaving, there's a little thing that comes to you. You know his hand is upon you. You know his hand is upon you. You know. To the rest of you are okay. You are laughing. You are okay. God doesn't, you don't feel anything with God. You just come to Sunday school. You don't think about God. How many people want to have an encounter with Jesus? Yeah. To today we'll have that encounter in Jesus' name. We'll have that encounter. We're not going back the same today. Because I was like that. I didn't come from a particularly religious family. No. In fact, a lot of people get surprised these days when they hear that Na is preaching. One, because I'm a very shy person, so they get very surprised when they hear my friends from SS University. I don't even look at people when I'm talking to them. But there's something about the presence and the power of God. It changes you. I can't tell you what the change is. But there's something about encountering Jesus. It makes you submit to Him. Sometimes when I think of Him, I just sit down and cry. And I ask, why all the years of going around, right? To come back to the same spot I was running away from. And that's when you know that there's not a single wasted experience. Your experience as a class prefect and plan. You think that you're not doing well in school. You see how God will pick that thing that you look like you're weak in and exalt Himself in you. What is the weakness that you have? Today, after we leave, initially I wanted to show a video, but because of time, I'll come and do what? A movie or a cartoon night with you guys. I'll ask for permission and I'll come and do. I'll show you. You know why I want to do that? Because sometimes we think the people of the Bible are very far removed from us. Right? Yeah, that's David. He's in the Bible. Is it really true? Right? Did somebody like David kill a giant? Did someone like Peter change the world for Christ? That's the Bible. But I was going to show you ordinary men like you and I. They lived like you and I. But they used the simplest circumstances in their lives to change the world for Jesus. One such guy is Mr. Eric Little. I will thank you. Please write it down, because you will research on them. And if possible, next week I'll come back here. I'll come and ask you. Eric Little, he was just a runner. He was an athlete. All he could do was run. And he ran. And he was so fast when he ran. I'm about to show you how what you see to be ordinary and the things that you love, God can use it to change the world. His parents were missionaries in China. And they were bringing him up in the ways of God. At the age of 5, his parents sent him and his brother away to London, which is where they came from, so that they could have good education whilst their parents stayed in China as missionaries. Right? You can imagine what that separation did to those two little young boys. He was with his brother, Robert. But they went to London and they would only see their parents every 7 years. So the next time his parents met him, he was 12. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being without your parents? He hated being in the boarding house. But that was how God was training him. But he could do something. He could run. And he had a funny way of running. You know, he would, you know, there's a way that athletes run, right? The way they position their hand. But he was very unconventional. When I say unconventional, he's different. He doesn't run like other people. When he was getting to the finish line, he would bring his chest out and take his head back and open his mouth. And people thought it was so weird. But he would always win the race. And very soon, people took notice of him. And so he was rolled in the Olympics at school. And every time he would win. Just, you know, there was one race that when they began, somebody pushed him. And he fell. And everybody thought that was over for him. But he picked himself up. And then he ran. And that was Eric. He ran. And he ran till he got to the finish line. And he won. But because of the discipline of the word of God in his life, he had this conviction, this personal relationship with Christ, which he wouldn't trade for anything. An international competition. And his country picked him, right? UK, they picked him. But guess what? The competition was going to take place on a Sunday. And he said, I won't run on a Sunday. Because that's a Sabbath. That's my day with God. I'm not going to. They said, this is going to make your future. He said, I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. And it became headlines. He was in the newspapers. At that time, he would have been like 16, 17. In the newspapers in London, they called him a traitor. How could he betray his country? He had the opportunity to put his country on the world map, and he refused because he attends church on Sundays. That was how convicted he was. And people began to ostracize him, cut him off. What is it? Like, I'm sure that even when you go to school and you want to preach, people say, oh, what is it? Only you. Are you the only person who knows Jesus? Are you the only person? But this guy was convicted. And he refused to go. And he prayed in his room. He said, he was just a teenager. He said, God, I don't know even if I'm right. All I know is that I'm doing this to honor you. I don't know whether I'm being too religious or not. Guess what? In 2 weeks, another notice came that they had enrolled him for another race, and it wasn't on a Sunday. That is the power of those who decide to honor God. There is nothing you give up to God that you have really lost. The boy with the 5 loaves, did he lose the bread? No. There's nothing. He refused to run, and there was a bigger race that opened to him, equally international. And he went there. You know what? He was very good with 100 meters, but this race was 400. And this, because the 100 he had refused to run because it was on a Sunday. This one was 400. What does he do with it? And he prayed. He said, God, you have seen me through every single step. See me through this one. And he went into that race, and people were skeptical. I mean, people weren't sure whether he would get it done. Because that is not his field. He's a 100-meter runner. And when he stepped on the field, he would just look up. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? He knew where his help came from. And he knelt down and he ran. In fact, he won, but he nearly fainted. He nearly died, but he won. And when he had gathered all the gold medals and all the gold caps, he told them, God is calling me as a missionary back to China. Do you know what he said? Everything I have, the fame, by this time he was very famous. I'm telling you this because when you Google him, he will pop up easily. I want you to know how an ordinary young man did great things for God in the simplest of ways. He said, everything I have earned, the gold medals, the fame, you gave it to me, and now it's time for me to return them to you. There's nothing that you ask of me that I cannot give back to you, because you are able to give me all things. And he packed his things, and when he was leaving London, he was escorted like a dignitary. You know, when you Google up his name, one of the things that will come up, they didn't call him the champion runner, they called him the champion of conviction. He was a man that lived by his conviction. He went to China, and by that time, how many of you have heard about World War II? In your history class is good. So China was fighting with Japan. By that time, he was a young man. He had married. He had two kids. So he sent his wife and his kids back to London. And then he stayed back. And what he did was that he was saving and he was treating the prisoners of war. Then one day the Japanese raided China and they grabbed him along with other people. And they stored them, not in prisons, but in a place not too cozy, not too flexible. Their food was rationed, right? It was given in proportion, like you break some. They were given just enough to stay alive. But this man, every single day, and there were children there who were brought to that camp. The children were separated from their parents. And he decided to be a father to them. He who had left his family. You know, he had the opportunity to go with his family. He just refused. He said, my work here is not done. And he stayed with these people. He developed a syllabus for them whilst it was time of war, because nothing was going to be wasted in that place. So from his memory, everything that he had learned in chemistry, he put together into a textbook, which is still currently there today. He saved it, and he would rally these children together and he would teach them. And for those who wanted to do sports, he trained them every single day. Mr. Eric was available for every single person. He barely got angry with people. He had been so changed by Christ from within. He always smiled even at the worst situations. Even when it looked like the day was terrible, Eric would be the light in that camp for them. Suddenly they realized that Eric began to be slow, because this was a man that was athletic. He would wake up every morning and we would fetch water for those in the camps. How many of you would do that? He doesn't just live for himself. He gets up, he thinks about everybody. Has this person gotten water? Because some people didn't even have the capacity to fetch it. But at some point, they realized that he was slow, even in walking. Do you know what that can do to an athlete? When you're a runner, and all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, when he's walking, he can't even feel himself. And everybody was not, but they felt that he was tired because he was always serving. He was serving. He was serving. Then his speech began to be slow. And when he was talking, it was no longer clear. And he didn't want to go to the nurse, because he felt other people needed it more than him. So he kept burning himself out. Till one day he collapsed. And he was taken to the hospital where it was just one nurse. And they realized he had a brain tumor. That was why his speech had begun to become blurry. But even in that, Eric was more worried about everybody in the camp than he was about himself. And so most of the time when he was in the hospital, people would wake up very early in the morning because they still had problems. Mr. Eric, what do I do with this? Mr. Eric, what do I do with it? So one of his students went to him. And when she went to him, he was so weak, but he listened as he smiled. And he watched her as she complained. And he said, surrender. Surrender. And even before he could say the word surrender, he was like, sa, 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 sa. And he died. The camp was quiet. Every single person mourned Mr. Eric. But you know the most powerful testimony? There was a man in that camp who, but day after day, he would hear Mr. Eric talk about Jesus, who he loved so much. He would hear Mr. Eric talk about Jesus, who he gave up his Olympic championship for. He would wonder, who is this Jesus? But he would watch Mr. Eric. Mr. Eric never got sad. No. He was happiest even in the most dire circumstances. He always watched out for another person. So one day, as they were having their quiet time, because Mr. Eric taught them quiet time, he taught them the need. You know, quiet time is not a ritual. It's just a time that you get before God and you ask him, what do you want me to do for you? That's why it's quiet. It's just the one time that nobody has to interrupt you. And sometimes it seems like you are being punished, but you're not. Because proximity determines how much of things I reveal to you. Am I lying? You have best friends here, right? There are things you tell your best friend you will not tell me, right? There are things on Jesus' heart that he can only tell you when you draw closer to him. So this atheist, as he sat down and they were talking, he said, I don't know who you're talking about or who you're looking for, but I think that Jesus used to live in this camp, but he died 2 days ago. Can you live your life so well that people can call you Jesus? I have watched this guy's life over and over again. Even now as an adult. Yesterday, before I would come here, I was watching it and I cried. Because I asked myself, can people look at me and see Jesus? Can people look at your life and say, I came to Teen Chapel and I met Jesus? Because they don't remember your name. They just remember how well you displayed God in your service to them. And they leave here and they say, I don't know, but I went to ICGC Calvary Teen Chapel and I met Jesus. Because that was his testimony when he died. Eric Little. I'm not talking about a biblical figure for you to tell me it's not possible. I'm telling you about a man who had nothing than running. And the conviction of the sacrifice of the cross. The second person is George Muller. I'll come here and do a night with you. I'll ask for permission where we'll watch his cartoon. Because that's what I do with my little niece. And I wanted to see that these are ordinary people. The next person is George Muller. He was a robber. He was a bad boy. He gave his father problems. But you know, he was a very smart guy. Like, he would rob people, he would con people out of their money. And the ladies, he just used the money for girls. girls. Hey, my young guys, are you here? By 13, the girls are giving you pressure. I know. I know. We are teasing each other, so you have the need to impress. There's nothing to hide, though. I've been there before. You're eyeing each other, they pay you, your seat is beside the person, everybody starts teasing. Because of the girl, when you are going to school, you polish your shoe extra differently. It's true. I mean, don't worry, I had a childhood sweetheart like that. When I'm going to school, yeah, you say, hey, I say, hey. So I know when they pay you and you're coming because of that, even if you want to eat because that guy is there. A guy, you can't even open your mouth and eat because they are teasing the two of you. And pressure. It's like everything you want to do, you want to impress the person. We've all been there, right? So this guy, George Muller, he was only spending his money on girls. His father will take him to school. This guy will cause problems. This guy will just cause problems for his father. But one day, he did something and he landed in prison. His father didn't bail him out. His father was a very rich man. George Muller. His father was a very rich man, but he refused to bail him out. He left him in the prison. And whilst he was in prison, he kept reflecting on his actions. And he asked himself, what am I doing with this life that I'm living? You know, he had been brought up in the ways of the church. You can actually be in church and still decide to go wayward. But you know why I can smile? I have a lot of patience. Because I know that nothing here is going to be lost. Not a single seed that is being sown here will go to waste. I believe that. I believe that 150%. I know that because I watched a movie when I was 8 years old and it's changed me today. Because I've seen these people and at some point they looked like the world was bothering them. But when they got to a certain stage, every single experience, God was about to use them to shake the kingdom of hell, to shake the kingdom of darkness. You can be sitting here, you can decide to be indifferent. When we've walked that path, it doesn't surprise us because we know the end results. So George Muller, he just looked at himself, he said, okay, he'll go to school. After a couple of months of being in prison, his father came for him and he went to school. Whilst he was in school, he was learning with a particular person. And that person was a Christian. And he was guiding him in the ways of God. And one day he changed. And as he would walk on the streets of London, he would see a lot of homeless people. What was that? Like the orphans will gather up in gangs. Like they didn't have parents, so they'll gather 1, 2, 3, 4. So if another gang gets bread, then these people will go and fight them. And he looked at them. The guy was a gangster in stealing, so he knows how people steal. When he sees one guy come, he knows they're going to rob the other guy. And sometimes the food they are quarreling over, it's not fresh food though. It's food that has been thrown from the rich people's homes. And these children are begging and fighting and killing each other for it. Then one day, he told God he wanted to take these people off the streets. And God helped him. He built an orphanage and brought all these children. In fact, at the time of his death, George Muller had built the most, up till now, the most orphanages in the world. And you know what they called him? Like they called Eric Little, champion of conviction. They called him George Muller, robber of the cruel streets of England. From an armed robber to a robber for God. So I ask you again today, what is it that you have in your hand that you think God can't use? What is it that you think is so small? Do these men look very extraordinary to you? Do they? No. They just made simple choices. But when you are holding the hand of a mighty God, there's nothing that is impossible to you. Even acts like playing the piano, drumming. What looks small becomes so magnified in the hand of a mighty God. This morning we are going to pray. We are going to pray. And for those who want to give your lives to Christ again, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your life to Christ. You're saying, I've done it. Don't worry, Miko, I did it. Every altar call, I would go. But I knew the day that I changed my sin. They would do it, the thing would stir me. But you see, not a single part of those experiences was a waste. The Bible says something in John chapter 12, verse 24 to 26. It says that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it abideth by itself. Jesus was speaking of his death, that by his death, many will be gathered to him. But that same thing applies to us. He says, whoever desires his life will lose it. But whoever gives up his life will gain it. What kind of statement is that? But what he's saying is that when you have learned to live for me, I can give you everything. These men are no longer with us, but the acts that they did remain because they chose to trust God. Whether you come from a bad background or you are in an impossible situation, you just feel like you're too bad. You probably aren't more bad than George Muller. He was a drunkard, he was a womanizer, he was a thief. But his story ended up differently. His story became different. You are saying that I failed in every single endeavor. That's what it looks like. I came to challenge you. There's something that you do that you do well. And that is why I talked about his smile. Because you say, I don't have anything. Oh, but you have a smile. And that can get you into jobs like an air hostess. Customer service, because you smile, right? Because you lighten people's day. But you have to come to a place of surrender where it is no longer you that lives. I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about intentionally telling yourself, I won't be proud. Intentionally telling yourself, I will be submissive. Intentionally opening your Bible when you don't feel like it. Everything becomes intentional. So I'll ask again, like I asked in the beginning, who wants to do great things for God? Raise up your hand. Just raise up your hand. Who believes they can do great things for God? Who is challenged today to do great things for God? So we are going to rise up on our feet and we are going to pray. We are praying. Lift up your hands. You're saying that, Father, I realize that you can use anybody. My age is not an intimidation. My background is not an intimidation. You are the only requirement for me. You're saying, Father, today I die to myself that I might live for you. I die to pride. I die to disobedience. I die to thievery. I die to stealing. I die Father, I die to the excesses that doesn't please you, that I may live for you. Begin to pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have come to you. Because we know, oh God, that you don't look for perfect people. You seek imperfect people to perfect your will in them. In the name of Jesus. Father, we have come to you to say that use us for your glory. In a world that is dying, in a world that is chaotic, Father, we desire to be a light to you in this generation. Father, we say that we are shallow in our dealings, but you are wonderful in all that you do. Father, we are saying that we lack wisdom, but you are the giver of wisdom. So we come to you for wisdom. This is all I have to give you. My love, myself, my heart. I've looked around and I have nothing else to give. And if you can use anything, use this thing for me. Use it in the mighty name of Jesus. Use it in the mighty name of Jesus. Use my weaknesses, oh God, for your glory. I submit to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I submit to you in the mighty name of Jesus. You are saying, Father, take away my weakness and let your glory be magnified in the name of Jesus. Father, stir up my heart, oh God, to desire you more and more. The song said, take us to deeper levels of intimacy in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything you are struggling with this morning, we pray that you will be released from it in the mighty name of Jesus. I break any addictions in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, may God restore to you the joy of his salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This morning, I'm going to, if I have the permission, to pray for everybody, if I can. But I'll divide you into two sections. Those who feel the call of God upon their lives, and those who are just saying, God, I want you to use me. And those who are saying, God, I want to rekindle my relationship with you. Is that okay? Do I have permission? Do we want that? Do we want that? Do we want that? Let me hear you. Do we want that? Are we ignited to do something for God this morning? Amen. So if somebody can help me, please group them into rows for me. Those who believe that there's a call of God upon their lives, apart from those standing here, if you want to join them, please come forward. You feel that there's a call of God on your life. You've just been hesitant. You've been afraid. But this morning, you want to come back to God and say that, God, I want you to use me for your glory. I want you to use me for your glory. Forward. Come forward. Come forward as soon as possible. Come forward. You know that God's hand is upon you. Come forward. Come forward. Come forward. Don't be shy. Just come forward. Come forward. Great. Okay. So I'll pray with you, and then I'll call those who, they don't know whether the call of God is on their lives, but they still want to be used by God. So you hold my microphone for me.
soul.